the Business Bunker. Email us now, bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, June the 10th. And you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Mr. Andrews.
Watch out. Before I talk to you, I want to just mention a big, big thank you to today's show sponsor.
Oh, yes, I was going to ask.
Yeah, lawyerfair.co.uk.
And the duck.
And the duck, who is on air right now. A big thank you to Lawyerfair. Do check them out. Check their website out. The links are on the Kent Business Radio website and the Channel Radio website. Lawyerfair, F-A-I-R, lawyerfair.co.uk. Do check them out. They are a legal firm, a legal portal where you can find legal services. So a massive, massive thank you to Andrew and the team for sponsoring today's show. How are you?
I'm very well. I mean, I've been frolicking most of
the
weekend.
You've been frolicking, have you?
Yes, but I've seen that you've been doing rather a lot of frolicking.
I did a little bit of frolicking on Sunday. I had an early Father's Day.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
It was one hell of a Father's Day, from what I could tell.
I had a pretty awesome Father's Day.
Little spring in your step this morning.
It was pretty awesome, yeah. You couldn't have done much better than that, so a big thank you to Jamie for that.
Jamie, yeah. I've seen the photos, Jamie, of you, Jamie in the corner.
Yeah, he was not amused with me, was he?
And you surrounded by spearmint rhino ladies.
I was indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. So what goes on there at these Brands Hatch?
We were motor racing, actually.
Didn't look much like motor racing.
No, it was the American Speed Fest at Brands Hatch, and we were in Mr. Paul Clark of Stopwatch Hospitality has a fabulous hospitality suite at Brands Hatch, and Jamie got us tickets for that. It was the American Speed Fest weekend at Brands, and there was NASCAR racing and all kinds of V8s and stuff like that. So a load of us went, and part of the hospitality that Paul Clark so kindly put on for us involved a walkabout in the pit lane, in the garages, and on the starting grid. And while we were out there, the grid
you
girls...
You collected.
I managed to collect a dozen or so grid girls that were looking very hot and bothered, so we invited them back to the hospitality
Did
suite.
Did you indeed?
And took a few photos in their nice little spearmint rhino uniforms.
Yeah, and I hear that Christopher Pollard was also involved.
Oh, I tell you what, it's a good job. Let's hope Miriam's not listening. She's stuck up her mountain without internet, because we wouldn't want it to get out what Chris got up to.
I know.
Say no more.
Leading them astray.
Say no more, yeah. Anyway, we had a fabulous time. It was brilliant, and I thoroughly recommend that you go and partake of some of Paul Clark's Stopwatch Hospitality.
So how do they find out about these events?
Paul's website is stopwatchmanagement.co.uk, and you can also follow him on the Twitter at stopwatchmgmt, I think it is. But if you follow me, you can follow him. But he'll be tweeting in shortly, I would imagine. He normally does with one of his hilarious comments, and I'm sure there's some photographs hanging around that I haven't seen yet of compromising things that's going to get laid on me today.
I'm just saying that I saw one of a young lady with a helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And rather a lot of cleavage on show.
Well, I was not going to put that one up on my Facebook page.
No, I'm sure.
But I was forced.
Oh, yes.
I was absolutely forced by Sally Laker, who wanted a caption competition.
Right.
And I couldn't think of a single thing to say about it.
No, I'm sure you could.
So I put it up. And I think I'd like to
Nothing
announce
to
the
do
winner.
With helmets and
No, well, there was a few of the, you know, helmet polishing gags and stuff like that. But I thought the winner, really, and I'm probably going to announce this now, was Christina Innes, who said, have the fire brigade arrived to extract the driver yet? You need to see the photograph to see how funny that is.
Yes.
So, nice one.
I think we'll have to have a Business Bunker show perhaps after 9 p.m.
Quite possibly, or maybe we'll just do a show from Brands Hatch one day.
Yeah.
Mm. It was great fun. We had a fabulous day, and it was really good fun.
I think, yeah, keep taking the medication. You probably need to calm down after all that.
Quite possibly, yeah. No, the girls were good fun, and they were good sports, and they entered into the spirit of it, and it was all really good.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah, cool.
You'd entered into the spirit of it.
Absolutely. No, it's good. But the racing was good, too. We had a fabulous time, and we met Freddie Nordstrom, who was one of the NASCAR drivers, and had a long chat with him about his car and stuff like that. So it was all good stuff.
Excellent.
Mm,
well
good.
Done, Jamie.
Fabulous, Jamie. Thank you for that, mate. That's really brilliant. Anyway, we'd like to hear from you, the businesses of Kent, and you can get in touch with us in a number of ways. You can phone us on 01303 874 998. That's 01303 874 998. Or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to get hold of us on air and to get a shout out is to tweet me at VanillaWeb. And we have already had a few tweets. I'm going to start off reading a couple of those.
From the bottom.
From the bottom of the list.
Which is obviously what you were doing at the weekend.
I'm going to ignore that completely. We've had Lee from Ancorians Football Club, who has tweeted in, and he does so on a regular basis. Thank you for listening in,
Lee.
It's an absolute pleasure to hear from you. Ancorians Football Club are a community football club over there in Medway, and they run 20-odd teams for all kinds of people. They run boys and girls teams, adults teams. They run teams for special needs, disability teams, all kinds of teams they run. And they have an absolutely fantabulous mascot.
Yes, which is...
Sammy the Starfish.
Is actually a starfish, not a marigold glove.
Not a marigold glove, as I thought it was originally. It's Sammy the Starfish, and Sammy is now lovingly sponsored by jobsinkent.com. So, fabulous. Thank you for listening in. We've had a tweet from Kindergarten Kids.
Hello.
It's Kindergarten Kids, and it says, Vanilla Web, and the Counts Amanda, who's our guest, hoping for a shout-out for Kindergarten Kids this afternoon, as we have just celebrated our 12th birthday. Well, happy birthday to you guys.
Yeah.
If you want to find out, listeners, about Kindergarten Kids, you can follow them on the Twitter. And their Twitter handle is Whitstable Kids. Whitstable Kids, and that's Kindergarten Kids celebrating their 12th birthday. So, many happy returns to you guys.
Happy birthday. Where are they based, Amanda?
Whitstable. Just a guess.
But where?
Their head office is on Albert Street in Whitstable.
Okay.
And they have... two nurseries in Whitstable.
I think they had a bouncy castle out at the weekend because I was walking through. I was going to see my friends at Alimo, a Moroccan restaurant.
Never heard of it.
Yes, you have.
Hello, Mo. Hello,
love
Ali.
I
was just saying hello to Mo and Ali. Yeah. They were very generous to us when you were three sheets to the wind late on Saturday night.
I took Paul Andrews into the kitchen.
We went. Jules and I and some friends went to eat out on Saturday night in Whitstable, and after we'd eaten, we went into Alamo.
For another
go.
Just to keep going. Mm. But a big thank you to Chives Catering there for the pop-up.
Graham Green and Debs. Fabulous.
Yeah,
fabulous. Yeah.
You can hear all about them on the Superior Show, scoffandquaff.co.uk.
Wherever.
And then Paul Andrews was found in the kitchen at the Alamo, rustling up a tagine.
I was indeed, yeah.
3 a.m.
Yeah, with young Mo. Swapping recipes from our time in Marrakesh.
Have you been in Marrakesh, really? But anyway.
Whatever. Let's never stop it before.
You can be in Whitstable and pretend you're in Marrakesh.
Yeah, it was similar to Marrakesh.
Same sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm sure Marrakesh has a railway arch like that somewhere.
Chris Pollard is on the Twitter already. He's leapt up. He says, my daughter Alison was shocked by the behaviour of Vanilla Webb.
Was she?
Yeah, I think most people have been shocked, actually.
Really? I don't believe that because I didn't do anything.
Well, there were pictures of you with lots of bosoms, let's just put it that way.
But that wasn't my fault, was it?
They
all wanted their picture taken with me, and
really?
I just obliged. There was 14 of them. They were really good girls. They formed an orderly queue, and each one of them came and gave me a cuddle and had their picture taken.
There was one on your lap.
I know. What can I do? What can I do? They were just friendly girls, and they just were so keen to have their pictures taken with me.
Yeah, I know.
Whatever.
Something to do with your allure, obviously.
I was wearing that, actually.
Your allure, were you?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
No, I really was. We're in allure. Chanel Allure aftershave.
Is there a name?
Yeah, yeah, it is, honestly.
I just branded it.
No, absolutely.
Well, it was that then.
It was. It must have been. Couldn't have been anything else.
It wasn't anything to do with all because Lady loves milk tray. Did you have any milk tray on you?
No, I didn't.
Do you remember those ads?
I do.
Or Old Spice.
Anyway, enough of that. If anybody wants to follow it, you can look at my Facebook page, Paul Andrews. They're all the pictures are on there.
Yeah.
And not just the girls, but all the pictures of the cars and Chris Pollard and everybody. No, there's loads of pictures on there.
Are there any pictures of Chris Pollard with women?
There are, yes, there's one.
Oh, poor me.
And I've actually got some in reserve.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So just, you know, if anybody gets out of order, I have evidence.
I expect my new husband will want to go next year with
you.
I'm
sure. Anyway, we've had a tweet from Trevor Buckland who says he can't listen right now, but he's going to listen later on the Listen Again. So thanks for that, Trevor. Feel free to do that. You can always listen again. I should tell you, anything you're going to hear on the show today, you can find out about it because we will put links on the Kent Business Radio website. So any websites we give out, any Twitter handles, anything like that, you will be able to find it on the kentbusinessradio.co.uk website under today's show, which is show number 177.
Gosh, you're so old.
I know, and we started numbering again halfway through as well. So
had a tweet from SOS Computer Kent. Can you see that on your timeline?
No, Billy Dean.
Yeah.
Wow, is he out of your wardrobe?
Well, it's your business.
Is he escaped?
Haven't you got your business one?
No, I've got vanilla.
No, one. You got to read that because it's about me.
Can you let me let my boss Billy out of the cupboard? SOS Computers is listening. See, for those listeners that don't know, Billy Dean is an IT guru.
Oh, very handsome one.
He's a handsome IT guru, and he fixes Jules equipment. And he came over to give Jules his equipment a looking at a few years ago, and she locked him in her wardrobe, and he hasn't got out since.
He comes out on the high days and holidays.
Yeah, so she lets him out for holidays, but then traps him back in the wardrobe.
He is eye candy, Amanda. You'd understand if you saw him. Mm. Very, very handsome. Mm-hmm. He's got the Irish blood in him, dark hair, blue eyes.
If I tell you that Jules walks around with a screwdriver, jamming it into various bits of computer equipment, and going, oh, my computer's broken, and then ringing Billy Dean, that'll give you some idea of what goes on here. F Keys, the Microsoft training guys over in Canterbury, are listening in, and welcome to you, Alex and the crew. Thank you for listening in. And Realia Marketing, Paul Williamson. It's Business Bunker Day. Can we have a shout out, please? Of course you can. Big shout out for Realia Marketing, based over there in Folkestone. I'll tell you what, Jules, why don't you read us an email?
I will, but I'd just like to say, if Paul Williamson, he took me to the White Hart and Hythe, mm-hmm. lovely, lovely pub. And perhaps we can go after one of our shows one day there. It's not far from Hythe here, is it? Hythe.
Was it Paul that you stood up?
Oh, yeah, when I was with you. When I was with you.
Yeah.
It was awful, wasn't it?
We were in a restaurant in Whitstable. We were in David Essex's gaff, weren't we? Having a tapas.
We were, yeah.
We were with a boy, Essex.
David and I are like that.
Yeah. So we were in David Essex's gaff. Having
so
lunch.
I've just shown David the picture of your floozy with the helmet.
Oh, right.
Which Chris Pollard has heard. Carry on.
Yeah. Anyway, we were in this restaurant and I took a picture
of Jules. He'll never give me the phone back now. Look, no. Just like mesmerised. Carry on.
I'm trying to tell a story. We were in this restaurant. We were in David Essex's tapas bar in Whitstable having lunch. And I took a picture of Jules and posted it on Twitter. And we then got a message saying, I'm waiting in Folkestone for Jules to turn up for a meeting, and now I know she's not coming.
She was in Hythe.
She was supposed to be having lunch with him in Hythe, and she was having lunch with me in Whitstable.
Well, there was a reason, and he knows the reason.
Yeah,
and
you blagged that, didn't you?
Yeah, he knows the reason. Anyway, yeah, I did have a...
Don't believe her, Paul.
I had a lovely fish pie at the White Hart in Hythe, and we're going to get Donna on the Superior Show, Scoff Quoff.
Yep. Richard Torball of Richard Torball Photography has tweeted in saying they're about to start recording the next Pixel Hub YouTube video, the Inspiration Lounge, and he's doing that with KBA Coach on the Twitter. Tell you what, read an email.
I will. The Kent Invicta Chamber have a networking barbecue lunch. This sounds fun. And it's Thursday the 12th of June, so is that this Thursday? It is.
It is indeed.
12 to 2 o'clock at the Conningbrook Hotel in Ashford. An opportunity to put your business in the spotlight to highlight its products and services and how these can help other businesses. So the menu is beef burgers, sausages, served with a selection of chef salads and jacket potato. The price is £20 plus VAT for chamber members, and non-members £25 plus VAT. And that's on the, as I said, on the Thursday, the 12th of June, 12 to 2 at the Conningbrook Hotel in Ashford. And then there's also a networking golf day special, and this is on Wednesday, the 2nd of July, 8 a.m. till 3 p.m. and it's at the Tudor Park Golf Club in Maidstone, and that's also the special Kent Invicta Chamber Golf Day, open to all businesses. Teams of four golfers and businesses will play against each other over 18 holes, and the teams and individual players will have the chance to win some fine prizes. So there is a dress code for this, and you do need to register, and the tee off is followed by a spot of lunch. So 8 to 9 for registration. And to find out more about these, it's www.kentinvictachamber.co.uk. You know, I've never played golf.
Have you not?
No, have you?
I have indeed. I don't play these days, but I have played in the past.
Oh, is it good?
But last time I played, it was pretty good.
Always looks very relaxed.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it all depends how seriously you take it, really, doesn't it? And when you play, I guess.
Isn't golf just like slow hockey?
What was it Winston Churchill famously once said about golf? It's a good
fight them in the
good
trenches.
Good walk spoiled or something.
Yeah. What did he say?
It's a good walk spoiled.
A good walk spoiled. Okay, because you stop and it's a bit like having a dog, isn't it, when you have to pick up. You know,
don't remember that in the rules.
I try.
Hold on, I've got birdie, albatross. No, I don't remember dog. What's a dog? Yeah. Four. It's probably what I got the last time I played. I got a dog, yay!
Well, I know, when you walk a dog, you have to keep stopping.
So walking a dog.
That's what he means.
That's some kind of euphemism, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, look, enough of that.
We should play the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band.
We could do, but I'm not. I am going to play some tunage. I am going to play some tunage.
What tunage do you have?
Well, this is a bit weird, you know.
Unusual because for you?
No. Really, really sad news over the weekend. And funnily enough, after my antics at Brands Hatch, which were a bit flash heart type orientated, really, weren't they? And the same
for your
news,
age, you've got to take
the sad news about, you know, the departure of a comic genius, Mr. Rick Mayall. I thought just as a little bit of a tribute, we
look,
might
everyone,
kind of...
He's coming through the
door. Great idea.
Do a bit
of...
Quick, Rick, do the speech.
Hey, kids, stop smogging and pay attention to me. Because if you're a wild-eyed loner standing at the gates of oblivion, then hitch a ride with us, because we're on the last freedom moped out of nowhere city. And we haven't even told our parents what time we'll be back. So put on your dancing trousers and get down to the total and utter king of rock and roll, Cliff Richard!
Got myself a crying, talking, sleeping, walking, living doll. Got to do my best to please her just cause she's a living doll. Got a roving eye and that is why she satisfies my soul. I got the one and only walking, talking, living doll.
Okay guys, ready for this?
Completely ready when you are, Shaky!
Neil?
Does anybody know where the toilets are?
Mike? Does all this money really have to go to charity?
It does, Michael. Hi, Cliff, it's me.
Who are you?
Oh, great joke, Your Majesty.
Got myself a crying, talking, sleeping, walking, living doll.
Living doll!
Got to do my best to please her just cause she's a living doll.
Living doll!
So no big hunk and steal her away from me.
Get down!
Got myself crying, talking, sleeping,
hey, Cliff!
Walking,
I've just invented a great new sound!
Got to do my best to please her just cause she's
living now. Settle down, chaps.
Got her over an eye and that is why she satisfies my soul.
I got the one and only walking, talking, living doll.
Okay, Daddy-O, lay the next funky riff on me.
He means what happens now, Cliff?
The instrumental break.
Break, Cliff? Which instruments do you want us to break? Piano! Violin! Didgeridoo! Rick's head!
Yeah, Neil's head!
And Cliff's head!
No!
We'll take a look at her hair. It's real!
If you don't believe what I say,
just feel.
Gonna lock her up in a sun!
So no big hunk
and steal her away from me.
I still feel the locking guards entirely politically unsound.
It's only a song, Rick.
Well, I feel sorry for the elephant.
Come on, guys.
Got myself a crying, talking,
sleeping,
walking,
living doll. Got to do my best to please her just cause she's a
living doll.
All right, guys, harmonies now.
Down, 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 down.
go now?
Yes, thanks, Cliff. Bye. Right, kids, if you don't buy this record, then you're an utter, 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 utter...
Jobs in Kent.com.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
The glorious and lamented Rick Mayall, Cast of the Young Ones and Cliff Richard, Live and Dial.
That should be your theme tune.
Yeah.
It so suits the Business Bunker.
It does, and what a sad passing.
It is, yeah, very young.
A young bloke, yeah. Very sad.
Yeah.
So, and our thoughts are with Rick's family. Brilliant, Live and Dial. Cool. Okay, we've had loads more tweets. We are going to speak to our first guest shortly. Just a couple of tweets to catch up on. The Fat Carrot has tweeted in. The lovely Jane. There's a charity event, a Mediterranean night, on Saturday the 21st of June at Taste Buds Cafe in Offham. And the tickets and details are available at a shortened link, which I can't read.
Just follow the Fat Carrot.
So if you follow Jane, and her Twitter handle is the Fat Carrot
11.
The Fat Carrot 11 1 1. The Fat Carrot 1 1. Then you will be able to find out the link. Once I get off the air, I will find the link and I will put the link on the Kent Business Radio website. But it's a Mediterranean night on Saturday, the 21st of June.
And had a tweet in from Go Vicinity Creative, the fabulous Bob and Mike, and they're saying, "What golf needs is a real Happy Gilmore to make it more interesting."
A what?
A real Happy Gilmore. It's a hashtag, Happy Gilmore. Is it a golf player?
No idea.
Do you know what a Happy Gilmore is?
No idea.
Well, now I thought you'd know. You know everything.
Is that a tweet?
Yeah. Happy Gilmore, hashtag.
Blimey.
We'll have to ask.
I don't know. Well, I'm not a golfer, so I don't know.
And a big hello to GG Sparks Butchers, who are listening in, and they supply traditional farming meats. Master Butchers. I don't know where they're based, but hello to you guys.
What are they called?
GG Sparks Butchers.
Okay. We shall find out where they are.
GG's. No horse meat there, then.
Oh, very good. Hi, Paul. Would you give a quick mention, please, for my second book, The Millionaire's Map? It is out both on Kindle and on an audio book. You can find it on Amazon, and he's given me a link, and the link is on the Kent Business Radio website, so you can go into today's show and find the link for The Millionaire Map book. And if the listeners want to get an idea before they buy the book of the kind of things that are in it, if they follow the hashtag Daily Bread on the Twitter, they will find out. And that's from Mike Waterton, who you can also follow on the Twitter at Mike Waterton, or his hashtag Daily Bread, or look at the Millionaire's Map book on Kindle. So do check that out. I think that's a pretty interesting book, yes.
And the Go Vicinity Rob has screamed back at us in frustration, "It's a film!"
Is it?
Yeah, Happy Gilmore. It's a film, he says.
Is it?
Yeah. So we'll Google it. We'll Google it.
It's a film. I've not heard of it.
It's a film.
I'll tell you what I did see the other day. A million ways
your toes,
to
die. That'll be first time.
Oh, she is so funny, isn't she? A Million Ways to Die in the West. That was brilliant. It was really funny.
Who was in it?
I don't know the guy's name. It was a guy that was in, that wrote whatever. Oh, I can't remember. He was also in Ted, which is also the funniest film I've ever seen as
Father Ted?
No, not Father Ted.
Another Ted. I haven't seen that. How come you've seen all these films I've never heard of?
I don't know.
Hello to Phoenix Analysts. They're listening in as well. They are... they're a skilled group of business analysts with over 16 years of experience. So hi to you guys. Data analysis, they do.
Cool. Do you know what? I think it's time to introduce our first guest.
She's an award winner, you know.
It's an award winning guest, and we're very pleased to have award winning guests on our show. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker for the first time, Amanda Taylor. Amanda, award winning, Amanda Taylor Bookkeeping Services. Hello.
Hello.
Why don't you start off by telling us about your award, because we're made up about that. That's fabulous.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this. My professional body is the International Association of Bookkeepers, and they have an award ceremony every year. I was deeply honoured to be nominated for the award. I went through the whole process of having to get together lots of testimonials from all my lovely clients. And I just had a glut of testimonials, and every one of them kept wanting to send me more and more stuff.
Wow, fabulous.
And I then had to go in front of a judging panel of six people, I think it was.
And do adding up. Did they throw you sums?
They didn't throw me sums. It was very cleverly done in terms of just chatting, but then throwing the odd technical question in there.
So they go, chat, chat, chat. What's 17.5% of Santo? Quickly.
And then there was, on the 19th of May, there was the awards ceremony, which was held up on the top floor of the Gherkin.
All right, okay.
Which is lovely. It was a lovely day, and the views are amazing. And I was lucky enough to have been named the Bookkeeper of the Year 2014.
That's amazing.
I'm really, really excited about.
That is a fabulous, fabulous award. Winning awards is always nice. Winning awards based on testimonials from your customers is brilliant.
Absolutely.
Winning awards that are recognised by your colleagues in the profession and all the other things is just awesome.
It is. Yes.
Amanda, I know you're very proud of it, and we're all proud of you in Kent because, you know, you're a Kent-based businesswoman.
Absolutely.
And that's what we like. Well, so fabulous. Well done.
Thank you very much.
That's absolutely well done, and we're really made up for you. So, did you get a big trophy?
I have got a nice, a glass trophy.
Wow. Sorry, in a handbag.
I have got it in my handbag. Okay, that I'm carrying it around everywhere with me, but I did bring it with me today.
We'll get a picture.
We'll take some pictures of it later, and we'll tweet that out. No, that's fabulous.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah, anyway, we don't talk about anything else, do we? Just one more. So I'll tell you what, tell the listener a bit about what you actually do and what Amanda Taylor Bookkeeping Services is all about and why you're so damn good.
Well, I first qualified back in 1997, so quite a long time ago now. Mm-hmm. And I, through the qualification, discovered that I was actually quite good at bookkeeping. And actually really loved it. Through the years, I've worked in industry and in practice. I did consider going on doing accountancy, but very quickly discovered that I love the pieces of paper, the actual doing of the work. I'm not so interested in the overall side of things. I like the pieces of paper and doing the work. Mm-hmm. And actually being hands-on with customers.
So you kind of enjoy the process of doing the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. I set up my own business about 6 years ago.
Right.
Kind of ventured out on my own a little bit. I was working part-time, so I was doing it half-heartedly, a couple of days a week, but discovered I was really enjoying it. In September 2012, when my youngest son went to school and my nursery bill from kindergarten kids disappeared, I decided to take the plunge and give up work and go full-time on the self-employed. So I started off at that point with about 2 days' worth of work a week.
Right.
Almost in my first week, I had no idea really where to go and what to do and how to go about it all. Mm-hmm. I very nervously walked into a Whitstable tweet-up.
Yes, I remember. You weren't nervous. You were lovely.
First time, I had no idea what I was doing. Met all these lovely people, and that kind of sort of spurred me on to do what I'm doing now. And I just have gradually built up by just talking to people, telling people about what I do. Mm. I'm now getting busier and busier, and absolutely love what I do. Mm. I offer a individual tailored service to my clients. Every one of my clients want something different. The sort of reports they need back, the work they need, is all different because they are all different industries. I don't work in one industry. I have hairdressers, I have restaurants, I have beauty products, I have nurseries, I have all sorts of different people on my books who will need different things from me.
Absolutely. It's one of those interesting things, isn't it? Bookkeeping is, well, it should be, a staple of business. Anybody that's running a business needs to keep accurate records and needs to keep their books. And I would hesitate to suggest, I wouldn't hesitate to suggest, I will tell you unequivocally, you also need to keep on top of your cash flow, your profit and loss and your balance sheet and all those kind of things. If you are serious about being in business at all, no matter how bad you are at the numbers, and trust me, I am the world's worst at the numbers. The fact is, you need the numbers.
You have
and
to keep
there
on
is
top
no
of them.
Way you can be in business without that.
No.
And so many people just don't like the numbers, and they start in business and they try to keep their own books. And you know, you get you get your proverbial shoebox full of some of the receipts.
Absolutely. Yes, I get people basically shouting help.
Yeah,
and usually it's about 6 months later than they probably should have done.
Absolutely.
When they are in a real mess and deadlines are in a week or even in a day.
Yeah.
And they really have let it get so much on top of them.
Yeah.
And then they realise that they really do need some help.
Absolutely.
And actually, then they then quickly discover that the benefits of having that, A, the benefits of having the stress taken away from them, but also the extra that they get.
I was going to say, you know, it's my experience of doing things properly like that, that when you have professional people doing things like that for you, it intrinsically pays for itself.
Absolutely.
You know, because not only, as you quite rightly say, do you not have the stress, the aggravation of doing it, you don't get the fines and all that for missing the deadlines, and you don't get the lovely, lovely, lovely people at HMRC and Customs and Excise crawling all over you every 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
So that in itself is worth, you know, lots and lots and lots. But with the right person doing it, you will also be given some degree of advice, support and help.
Absolutely.
That will show you about doing things in a way that you may not have thought about yourself, that will save you money or indeed earn you money in some respects.
On one level, what I do is historic. I'm taking what you spent and what you earned last week, last month, and putting it into a format. So I'm organising things. I'm not making things up. I'm organising things.
Yeah.
But actually what people really quickly discover that once they've got that information that quite often they've never had before, on a monthly, quarterly or monthly basis, they then have the tools to then start using that to move forward.
Yep.
They can then make the strategic decisions of how they want to move their company forward.
Yep.
And therefore it helps their business to grow.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I spend a lot of my time mentoring startup businesses, as most of you know, and one of the big problems I have, you know, people come to me in early stages of businesses and they go, oh, the bank won't let me this, or I can't do that, I've got to do that. But a lot of it is because they're not organised.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have no idea. You know, the banks won't take a risk on something like that without something to back it up. Yeah. But if you can go and say, look, this is my cash flow, this is what I've got at the moment, this is what I need. I need an overdraft or I need a loan to cover this. And you can show them the figures that substantiate what you're doing, it's fine. But so many people rock up and go, I need money. Yeah. And they go, why? Well, because I'm broke.
But they're looking then. What they're doing is looking at what's in the bank. They have no idea of the actual figures.
Yeah.
I've started working recently with a company who have been growing, and they're getting bigger and bigger, and there's money in the bank. Mm. So they seem to think they've kind of gone for the last 2 or 3 years, well, we've got money in the bank, we must be okay.
Yeah.
And now they've kind of realised now that the back office needs to catch up with that and actually start, you know, are they making a profit? They actually didn't know.
Yep.
Whether they were actually making a profit,
right?
Until you start putting some figures together.
Yeah, absolutely. And you wouldn't. It's amazing, isn't it? I don't know if it's still the same, and maybe you know this, Amanda. A few years ago, I used to trot this out as a statistic, and I don't know if it's still true. And I probably made it up then. But the vast majority of small businesses that went bust actually went bust not because they weren't succeeding, but because their cash flow got ahead of them, i.e. they grew too quickly, didn't manage their cash flow, and couldn't survive, not because they didn't have customers, not because of anything else.
Not because it's not viable.
Yeah, it wasn't viable because they hadn't managed it properly.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think
is that still fairly true?
Yes, I think it is quite still a high percentage.
Yeah.
And that goes for whether you're a large company or a single one-man band.
Yeah.
Amanda, what are the sort of top three tips that you would give to a small business just starting up? If you say you go in for the first hour or however you start off.
I always I get together with quite a few people and I try to talk to them as quickly as possible when they're starting up and just help them and give them some advice in terms of just keeping those records. Don't just think you can shove it all in a shoebox and hope for the best. A simple basic spreadsheet of money in, money out, and quite often with the very small businesses, as you know, if they're a one-man band, quite often I'll send them on their way with a spreadsheet and say, off you go. You don't necessarily need my services at the moment on a monthly basis, but invariably they then tend to come back when it comes to self-assessment time. But they've then got records, and actually, especially if you are a one-man band, even if you've just got a spreadsheet with the money in and the money out, you can at least you just do some very simple sums of one minus the other equals am I doing okay?
Yeah.
So on that level, I think it's being organised and keeping control of the money in and the money out.
Okay.
And I think just working within, I mean, you know, we'd all like to, when we're setting up, have a lovely office with nice furniture, and it's kind of easy to get carried away. To go out spending, but it's just so important to control the money that's going out and that's coming in, and are you actually making a profit?
Yeah. Mm. No, absolutely.
The other top tip is keep HMRC on side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
If you upset them, then...
It is difficult to do sometimes because they can be a bit obtuse, but I totally agree with you. You do need to, you know, not antagonise them, because the minute you antagonise them, you really are in trouble, because they won't be very helpful.
One of the benefits I've got with being a bookkeeper is for my clients, I act as their agent for HMRC. So I will speak to HMRC on their behalf, and I have different phone numbers. Mm. I get to speak to different people, hopefully a little bit quicker, and sometimes you phone HMRC and you get the feeling that it's the cleaner that's walking past that's picked up the phone because they haven't got a clue.
Yeah, but normally the cleaner knows more.
Well, true. but I have different contacts, so hopefully, therefore, I can kind of help people get out of these situations they get themselves into.
Yeah, it is important, and being serious for a moment, it isn't that HMRC are particularly nasty to people.
No.
It's basically they are a process-driven organisation.
Absolutely.
And they deal with bazillions of bits of paper every day, and they want you to follow a process. If you don't, and you try and circumvent that process, they get annoyed because it throws everything out.
Absolutely.
And that's why they don't like...
And everything is getting, especially with things like payroll nowadays, with the whole RTI and they're fining people and all sorts of things. So it can be quite frightening for people if they don't understand.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the beauties that I can kind of step in and take all that stress and deal all that on their behalf.
So you do handle payroll and VAT and all that kind of stuff
as well?
Yes, I
do the payroll and the VAT. Mm-hmm. And I do all the self-assessments.
Right.
And also, if companies that I'm dealing with that have their own accountant, limited companies, I get all their accounts, all their books ready to go to their accountant, hopefully in a really good state, so the accountant's job is a lot easier. And therefore, hopefully, their bill
cheaper,
a little lower.
And do you advise on whether they should become a limited company?
It's not... I can give advice that way. I can kind of... do some projections and do figures, and then to help them decide if that's a good option. And there was a period of time where it was just trendy; everybody was becoming limited for the sake of it.
Yeah.
It's becoming a little bit more sensible now.
It's one of those things that is basically there's not a single answer to that.
There
it depends on a whole load of circumstances and
absolutely. People hear that I can save tax by going limited, and therefore they suddenly set up a limited company. And it's there's a lot of other things to consider as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't even get me started on all of that. At the moment, some things annoy me, and I try to avoid getting avoid getting dragged into things on Twitter about tax, because the dear old Daily Mail, God bless their cotton socks, start these things which are just nonsense. I actually wrote to the Daily Mail just because I'm sad like that, and said, for a paper and an organisation of your size to, and I know that you do know, and you're just doing this to be obtuse, but to have a headline that said somebody had revenues of X billion pounds and didn't pay any tax is outrageous.
Yep.
Because you know as well as I do, you don't pay tax on revenue, you pay it on profit.
Absolutely.
And if you are going to castigate other people for it, I'm going to castigate you, because the Daily Mail Group made X billion pounds last year, and you didn't pay tax on it either, because it was revenue, not profit.
Exactly.
And the trouble is, so few people understand how the various tax systems work, and they get very upset about it all because they're misled.
Yes.
And you think, and some of these people run businesses, and you think, blimey, do you not know that? Do you
I think exactly. I mean, like you say, it's you know, sometimes the press can put it forward that someone's earning a huge amount of money and not paying tax. Well, you know, if they're doing anything illegal and evading tax, then they will be stopped.
Yeah, absolutely.
If what they're doing is maximising their profits for tax purposes, then they're absolutely within the law. That's what I do when I'm doing. Is if somebody comes to me for a self-assessment, I will look and see how much, you know, what can we claim for. They don't necessarily know what they can claim for, and I therefore know, well, if you know, you can claim for that and you can claim for that. That's all legal and above board, and therefore reducing their tax bill. So it's exactly the same process.
I got stopped in the street, so I won't tell you where, because
I
embarrass them. I got stopped in the street by someone who was protesting about a particular high street organisation that hadn't, you know, that had been avoiding tax or whatever, and they tried to thrust this leaflet into my hand, and I went, this is outrageous. And I just said, what's the problem? And they said, this lot haven't paid tax. And I said, which tax?
Yeah.
And they went, income tax. And I went, sorry? And they said, they haven't paid income tax. And I said, no, quite right. Of course they haven't.
Absolutely.
And I went, what? I said, companies don't pay income tax. No, exactly. I said, no company, not a single company on the planet pays income tax. Companies don't pay income tax. What tax haven't they paid? Well, income tax.
Yes.
Really?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
Keep on.
Yes.
Cool. So, you've won these awards.
Yes.
You have established yourself as a business.
I have.
You've now established yourself with your client base quite well. Mm-hmm. Where do we go from here? New office?
Yes, new office.
Yeah.
Hopefully having a new office. Going to be moving from the dining room out into a shed in the back garden, hopefully very shortly. I've recently taken on my first employee.
Wow.
The lovely Natalie. Who now works with
Who's doing your payroll for? No, sorry.
Oh, no, a really good payroll provider would be me. So we're now, she's, I specifically wanted somebody who was newly qualified.
Mm.
And she'd been looking for work for quite a while and was in that situation that so many people are in, that you can't get work without the experience and you can't get the experience without the job. And that's what I wanted. I wanted somebody that I could train to do it my way.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wanted it done how I wanted it done, and my standards, that I don't want my standards to drop.
Sure.
So she's now working with me on a part-time basis. So I'm hoping to her hours are going to increase, and hopefully, you know, kind of go on from there and increase her hours and maybe eventually take on maybe an apprentice and grow the business in that respect, so I can therefore keep control of the client base and be the customer face side of things, but having other people in the background doing a lot of the actual data input side of things.
Mm. Cool. Good. I'll tell you what, we could talk about this for a long time, but we're kind of fast running out of time, Amanda. Okay. Why don't you give us a shout for your website or the various ways that people can follow you on the Twitter and the Facebook and whatever, and how people can get in contact with you should they want to find out more.
Cool. My Twitter handle is @accountsAmanda. I'm based in Whitstable. My website is www.ataccounts.co.uk.
Cool.
And I'm happy to talk to anybody, whatever size of the organisation, whether I can help them or whether they just need advice.
Fabulous. And all those links are on the Kent Business Radio website,
thank you
so you can follow up there on that. For the moment, Amanda, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Do stay with us for the rest of the show and feel free to join in. But for the moment, Amanda Taylor Bookkeeping Services, National Award winner. Fabulous. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I think, Jules, you can do an email and then I'll read some more tweets and then we'll play another piece of tunage and then we'll speak to our second guest.
Sounds like a plan.
Does that sound like a plan?
It does sound like a plan.
That sounds like a plan.
We've had a fabulous tweet before we go on to, because
really?
You told me to read an email, so I'm just doing a tweet.
Yeah, I know. I realised entirely that you wouldn't do what I said.
Well, I won't. Nat Godden, who's your lovely young lady, and she's just tweeted in and said, hello Vanilla Web, Jules Serkin, big shout to Amanda Taylor on today's show. She's a great boss and very hard working, and I'm tuned in listening.
Oh, yes. Is it pay rise week already? Is it appraisal week?
But no doubt she's tuned in and doing the adding, you know, at the same time.
Hi, Nat. Thanks for joining us. And
I've just
looked
at her picture. She's very gorgeous. And she's cuddling some lovely young man.
Yes.
On her. Yeah.
That'd be Greg.
Very
no wonder they won an award.
Very Whitstable-ian. Okay, so good morning. This is from the Friars at Aylesford. They're saying on the 25th of July, they have a fabulous outside performance. I fancy this, actually. It's Romeo and Juliet. You bring your own picnic.
Romeo, we're for up now, Romeo.
I would go if someone packed me the picnic, so I might phone Graham Greene and go, could you pack me it? He was a good eye.
Romeo.
Yeah.
I always wanted to hear...
A Birmingham one.
Yeah, I always wanted to do it in a real Shakespeare accent, you know, from the Black Country. Hey, Romeo. You know, is that a crack from yonder window I see over there?
You sound just like Noddy...
Noddy Holder.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Christmas. Go on, carry on.
I'll say Noddy Taylor then, because of Amanda, for some reason. I'd married them off, as you do. Noddy, Amanda, Noddy.
Yeah.
Anyway, as I was saying, if I was very rudely interrupted by a black country accent, bring your own picnic, wine, etc., and enjoy this performance. You can get tickets. I'm going to read out the phone number in a minute. They're only £16, so it's the Friars, Aylesford, on the 25th of July, 01622 717272. What they haven't put on here, Lee, is the time. But anyway, you can find out by 01622 717272. 25th of July.
I would imagine.
I'd like to go to that.
I would imagine if that's the standard Shakespeare open air season, what I used to sponsor, then it will be the Changeling Theatre. So you can Google Changeling Theatre and find their website, which will have.
Or Aylesford Priory.
Or Aylesford
Priory. And no doubt, you being diligent, will put it on the Kent Business
Radio. I will look it up and put it on the Kent Business Radio website. While we're talking about such things, I haven't got anything about it, but I do happen to know that the Trials of Oscar Wilde, a play, is doing the rounds at the moment, and they are intending to have a performance at the Ellen Terry Small Hive Barn Tiny Theatre in Tenterton.
Okay.
And that is very apposite, because Oscar Wilde himself was great friends with Ellen Terry, and he actually performed some of his plays in her barn.
Really?
And they are going to perform.
Well, that sounds fantastic.
The Trials of Oscar Wilde there.
Didn't Ellen Terry make chocolates as well?
Quite possibly.
Terry's. All gold.
Stephen Jenner has tweeted us from Gillingham Drama Society whilst we're on a thespian theme. And GDS have a competition, and you can find out about it.
Oh, I love a competition.
You can find out about it on their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ Gillingham Drama Society. Do have a look at that. We will put the link. In fact, the links, if you go on to the community pages of the Kent Business Radio website, there's already a link to Gillingham Drama Society, so you can find out more about it there. And I happen to know that the next production that GDS are doing is in October at the Hazlitt Theatre in Maidstone, and it's Hairspray.
I do love a bit of Hazlitt and a sandwich with a bit of Branston. Do you?
Yeah.
Do you know there's a concert on at Leeds Castle? It's a classical concert, and it's the Dreamers.
Freddie?
you were made for me.
Yeah.
Everybody told me. You did the dance then as well.
I did.
It was like a frog dance, wasn't it? Concert goers get the chance to see the Dreamers perform at this summer's open air classical concert, Leeds Castle, and this is also on the Saturday the 12th of July. Was that when the other one was on? No, it was 25th. In this year that commemorates the 100th anniversary of World War One, two young musicians from the band The Virgin Soldiers have written a contemporary and inspiring musical drama called The Dreamers, and it's about 28-year-old James Beaney. And he formed the up-and-coming six-piece band, composed the Strock Opera, with 23-year-old fellow band member Gina Giorgio. That's the name.
Cool.
So that's great, and that is on the 12th of July.
Fabulous. Quickly flash through a couple of tweets. Play another record, and then we'll speak to our next guest.
Okay.
We've had a tweet from Whitstable Stove Shop. Lovely Mark Smith over there just saying hi, and he's listening in. We've had a tweet from the Federation of Small Business Kent and Medway branch. Vanilla Lead, please could you mention our session tonight on pension auto-enrolment, 7 p.m. at the Elwick Club, Ashford. All employers welcome. So do get along to that. That's the Federation of Small Business pension auto-enrolment. Everybody doesn't want to know about it. Everybody does need to know about it. Go along there. You can't avoid it any longer. You've got to find out about pension auto-enrolment, I'm afraid. So go along to the Elwick Club in Ashford tonight at 7 p.m. And we've also had a new follower, Sharon Goodyear of Healthy Treats. And she says, Vanilla Web, avoid pre-diabetes. Choose no added sugar pancake mix and cereal bars. And then she gives me a web address, www.bar15.info.
Well, you wouldn't put sugar in a pancake mix.
.bar15.info.
Surely. But the cereal bars, they put sugar in everything.
They put sugar in everything, don't they, blimey.
Do you know, M&S put sugar in their chicken breasts and milk. That's disgusting, isn't it? You go and buy a savoury chicken breast and it's got sugar and milk.
Everything's got sugar in it. That's the problem,
isn't
it?
That's why I cook from scratch.
Don't get me started on sugar.
www.bar15.info
if you want to find out more about avoiding pre-diabetes. We've got 135 more tweets to go, so we'll come back to them in a minute. At the moment, do you know what I think we're going to do?
Tunage.
I think we'll play a little bit more tunage, and then we will speak to our next guest.
I can't wait, yeah. David. Anderson, who's this? I beg your pardon. Yeah, I never promised
Ian
you
Anderson.
A rose garden.
Exactly.
In a little smock dress.
Absolutely. I haven't heard this for years.
Long, blonde, curly hair.
Exactly.
Oh, this takes me back.
Yeah, yeah. Along with the sunshine, there's gotta be a little rain sometimes. When you take, you gotta give. So live, let live, or let go. Oh, 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 I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could promise you things like big diamond rings, but you don't find roses growing on stalks of clover. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could sing you a tune and promise you the moon, but if that's what it takes to hold you, I'd just as soon let you go. But there's one thing I want you to know. You better look before you leap. Still waters run deep, and there won't always be someone there to pull you out. And you know what I'm talking about. So smile for a while, let's be jolly. Love should be so melancholy. Come along and share the good times while we can. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime.
Need temporary employment? Call Temp Network on 01892 531 777.
Let's work it to the bone, bone, bone. Come on, work.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show with me, Paul Andrews, and the stunkingly gorgeous Jill Sirkin on Tuesday, the 10th of June. That was a bit of Lynn Anderson and
took
Rose Garden.
That,
that was an old one, wasn't it?
Yeah,
I heard it the other
like
night.
Oh,
yeah, I know. I heard it the other night for the first time for ages, and I thought, you know, I'll play that again because
some of the oldies are goodies.
Yeah, they are good. Anyway, we're inundated with tweets. We were
better
just laughing
Snoop
at some
Dog,
of the tweets
Dog
coming
and all
in.
That.
Yeah, yeah. We were just laughing at some of the tweets coming in about some of the things that we've said on here, and we'll get round to reading as many of them as we can.
We love your tweets.
Later on in the show, but for the moment, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show our second guest of today, Mr. David Robinson of Kerrison's.
Good afternoon.
Hello, David. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much. Thanks
cool.
for having me here.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Really looking forward to you being on the show. David's involved in property, and I think I'm right in saying in commercial property is the thing that you're most specialised in.
Correct, yes. Kerrison is a property consultancy, and we provide a wide range of services, predominantly commercial property orientated, but we do carry out residential property services.
Oh, you do as well?
But only relating to lettings and property management.
Oh, okay, yeah, so there's a kind of commercial aspect to it as well.
But
yeah.
Our specialisation really is commercial property.
Okay. You're based over there in the West Kent area.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the area that you tend to specialise in, or do you operate on a wider basis than that?
Well, we're based in Westrum.
Lovely
it
place.
It is a beautiful place. Mm. And in fact, one of the people that we work for is the Squarries Estate, who
right.
I heard on the Squaff Quaff.
Yes, the Superior
just,
Show.
Yeah.
and although we're based in Westrum, we cover the southeast, but I would say the majority of our work is in West Kent,
right.
And then spilling over into western East Sussex.
Fabulous. Okay. So we've met at a few business events, David, in the past, and we kind of got chatting about commercial property and stuff like that. And I tell you some of my sub stories about not being able to rent what I want and all that. Give us an overview. Give us a general overview of what the commercial commercial property market is like. We hear a lot about, for instance, the supposed failure of the high street, so retail premises, and there are quite a few towns, not so many in West Kent, because West Kent tends to be a much more thriving place in places like Seven Oaks and Tunbridge Wells and indeed West Drum and what have you. But a lot of parts of Kent and Sussex, some of the town high streets are a bit shabby these days and a lot of empty properties. What is the commercial property market like as an overall thing at the moment?
I think it's going through quite a bit of a change at the moment. And the commercial property market can be broken into different sectors. So you've got the retail aspect, which you mentioned, which is an important part. You've also got the offices, the office sector and the industrial sector, where people store things and make things.
Right.
And then allied to that, you've got leisure, leisure buildings, gymnasiums and those sort of things.
Sure.
I think at the moment, certainly West Kent is doing quite well on the high street. Places like Seven Oaks are pretty, pretty full. There's only, I think, one or two shops that are available, and they've already got occupiers lined up. Other towns aren't doing so well, and government have introduced measures to try and look at changing the use of those shops to bring in other types of users just to fill the high street.
That's something I want to talk to you about. Like, don't let me interrupt you, because I'm interested in what you're saying, but I do want to come back to that change of use and type thing in a moment.
And so I think, and I'm a firm believer that the marketplace will actually determine what ends up in the high street. There's always somebody with a big idea who wants to open something, and often it's about the affordability as to whether or not it's actually a sensible level of rent. And I think it's taken a while for some landlords to realise that they're perhaps being a little bit too optimistic in what they're looking for. And when they lower their expectations, lo and behold, they get tenants.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, we also have things like business rates on top of everything, which are
don't start talking about business rates. I mean, business rates is a bit of a hot topic, and anyone running a business, you know, will have to pay business rates. There are a few kickers that the government have introduced to reduce the business rates for small businesses, small business rates relief. But certainly in the office sector, in quite a short space of time, we've seen a real turnaround in the office market. 2 years ago, if you wanted office space in any town in Kent, you could pretty much take your pick,
right,
name your rent and your terms. Now it's a completely different picture. Businesses are doing well, businesses are starting to expand, take more space, take more staff, and the availability of stock is now depleting. So we are we're getting to a stage when there's going to be a shortage of stock around, and that's already emerging in places like Seven Oaks, and then if you go around the M25, the provincial towns.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I can totally agree with that on a couple of bases. As I was mentioning to you when we met earlier before we were on air, we've just moved head office in Maidstone, which has been traumatic, not because it was a big drama, but it's just we've been in our offices 25 years and it was just, you know, a signal point in the evolution of our business, and we've moved to bigger premises in Maidstone. We've actually moved next door, and I've got some opportunities to acquire other premises. But you're absolutely right. As you know, I run a business involved in hot desking and community workspace, and we've been approached a number of times to open something like that in the West Kent area, and the problem we have is finding the premises.
Well, that's a difficult thing, and it's all about getting the right premises at the right price, because it's a different business model. And I think the co-working space is a bit of a buzzword at the moment,
and it is.
Since 2005, the number of co-working spaces has doubled year on year throughout the globe, and you've now got people actually with large business models who have experimented and become very successful in New York and other American cities, and bringing the model over to this country.
Sure.
And they're starting to look for premises in London, in trendy towns, places like Bristol, Brighton, where that sort of co-working space will work extremely well on a large scale.
Absolutely. And it's a funny thing. Whilst we're talking about such things, I had a meeting with the guys from Locate in Kent a few months ago, and they were talking specifically in this particular meeting about introducing North American businesses into bringing their operations into Kent. And a lot of their customers, even quite big corporations, are saying, actually, do you know, what we want when we first move in is co-working spaces. We want to occupy a co-working space first, then we'll think about it from there, and then we might have serviced offices, and then if we're really happy, we might rent somewhere or buy somewhere.
Exactly.
And it was really an eye-opener, because it's become so endemic in the States that it's a fundamental part already of the real estate makeup for businesses, and they just like that kind of thing. And I met a chap whose name, sadly, sorry, whose name escapes me. I met him briefly at a meeting in London, who has just produced what I called — he did slap me for this, but I'm going to go with it anyway — he's produced an Oyster card for co-working spaces. So basically, as a co-working space owner, you sign up for this Oyster card. People have the Oyster card. They can go to any co-working space they want, produce the card, and then all the billing and all that stuff gets sorted out in background.
That's a
clever idea, isn't it?
It's fantastic. And they don't have to sign up to leases. They just pay as you go. Yeah,
absolutely.
Fantastic model. Yeah.
So it's a good idea. But as you say, quite rightly, David, it's changing the landscape a bit of the certainly the office space market.
Had a question in from BeFast Friends in Sevenoaks, not only about what you're wearing, but also a work question. They're saying...
that would be Sam, then, would it?
Sam Good.
Yeah.
He's saying, are landlords more open for pop-up shops, David?
Well, first of all, I'm rather concerned that Sam is so concerned with my
attire.
I sent him a photo, don't worry.
I wonder what you were doing with your phone. I think pop-up shops in certain locations are in certain centres work quite well, and landlords are open to those. I think you're probably looking at the large shopping centres, the covered shopping centres. Yeah. But then, having said that, town councils can be quite amenable to these almost sort of market situations where you have a series of pop-up shops, but they're booking on a sort of monthly or weekly basis.
Yeah, sure.
And those sort of tend to crop up in and around the market towns of Kent.
I think people have to move with the times, don't you? If times are tough and we've had a recession, you've got to take what you can to keep your venue filled.
Mm. You do, and pop-up shops works for small business as well. And you've also seen a growth in the, I mean, moving away from property, but the pop-up shop theme is now effectively the farmers' markets. The farmers' markets are doing well. Mm. So people have a great business idea. They don't need to go out and rent a shop.
Yeah.
They can go to farmers' markets if they're producing something. Or if they're a designer, they can go to co-working space and have an instant base and an instant office for themselves.
Absolutely. Cool. I want to come on to a theme that you touched on briefly, and I want to kind of expand that a little bit, mostly for my own selfish reasons, but I think it'll be interesting to our listener as well. And that's change of use. Politicians are continually trying to get feedback from businesses, and then they ignore us. When we tell them what we want, like, you know, your entire rate system is rubbish, and they go, oh, we'll charge you more then. And that's all you get. I mean, we're fighting one of these stupid business development things, whatever they call bids, in a place where I have an office, which is one of the most expensive rateable and rental areas in the country. They want to add another 3% on the top to make it a business improvement district, which is just so nonsensical, it's unbelievable. But outside of that, politicians keep telling us they're trying to make life easier for people to start, run and grow businesses, and they've talked about planning permissions and stuff like that. The reality is what, though, David? What is it like to get change of use on a building? Is it getting easier? Is it harder? Is it something that's people are trying to do now, or is it something that's not really relevant?
I think, having lived through the last recession, and in fact the recession before...
he doesn't look old enough, does he?
Just a baby.
Bless you. you've got to adapt. Property owners have got to adapt, and they've got to be lateral thinking. So you can't just sit there with an empty property. You've got to look at all the alternatives.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, changes of use are... depends on the policy of the area, depends on which planning district, and it depends on all the usual factors.
And, of course, what you want to change it into, of course.
What you want to change it into, absolutely.
Yeah. Spearmint Rhino,
no,
for
example. No, let's not even go there, yeah.
And, but generally, if there's a good business idea, if it's got support of local people, then there's a real chance of getting a change of use. And, in fact, it's not necessarily the planning officers who make the decision. It's the district councillors within a district council,
right,
who are quite influential. And, you know, if you're able to sell your idea to the people who make decisions at committees,
right,
then you're halfway there.
Yeah. So if it's something that they feel adds to the general credibility,
yeah,
well, it's the credibility of, well, you know, I mean, if you're going to do something that's going to, yeah, help, rather than, you know, just put, some, like you said, some kind of weird club or something.
Well, but I'm when I go through Canterbury now, I'm sort of, I don't know if it's just me, but it's just full of eating places, coffee shop, cafe, restaurant,
yeah,
but the shops are sort of dying out.
Yeah, but that is a bit endemic of, I was reading a report earlier when we tweeted out that David was going to be on and we were talking about commercial properties, and somebody tweeted, yeah, it's all nail bars now instead of whatever in most high streets. So you know, you said it yourself, though, Jules. You know, times are changing and things are changing, and retail has been hit particularly hard, and it's been hit hard by the internet and all kinds of other things have impacted on it. So the high street has become a much more mixed environment now than it used to be in terms of entertainment and retail.
Yeah, the high street is becoming a complete change has gone on, and I think that what we're seeing is that you mentioned places like coffee shops, restaurants. It's becoming a destination for people for almost leisure activities.
Yeah.
It's providing places where you can't go for a cup of coffee and get your hair cut on the internet. You have to go to
a shop. Yeah. I can. I can get my hair cut on the internet.
I think it has been done by some sort of lawnmower, hasn't it?
But Mariano did that.
No,
you
it's
know.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. Your hair, the one hair.
Both hairs, yeah.
But it's... so why do you think that coffee shops and restaurants are... Actually, I think restaurants are struggling, a lot of them. Why do you think there's so many coffee shops arriving now suddenly without... Is it because people are buying clothes online, but as you say, they can't go and get a coffee?
I think coffee shops are... It seem to be quite a good business model, and, you know, I don't know how much it costs to make a cup of coffee, but it can't be that much. And, you know, the likes of the corporates have done extremely well, and it's all about volume for them. And but then you've got these independent coffee companies and individuals who are opening up, and they're doing brilliant coffee, great snacks, cakes, and all the rest of it. There are a number in every town you go to, and I think, you know, people like to support their independent. People like to go to the known brand because they know what they're going to get.
Sure. Moving on a little bit, and I'm conscious that we're kind of fast running out of time, and I want to cover a number of aspects with you, David. From your perspective as well, I'm interested in what you feel about rent versus purchase of commercial property. So is it something... A few years ago, people were very heavily into property. You know, all kinds of property, property speculation was rife, and people would buy anything. They'd buy a dog kennel in somewhere because, you know, the price would go up 40% within an hour or whatever. From a purchase point of view of commercial property, what's the market like in terms of price stability and what have you? And I'm assuming, and this is a huge assumption, that those people that do purchase commercial properties, certainly smaller businesses, may well do it via a vehicle like a SIP, a personal pension fund or something like that, rather than just fund it out of a business. And what is the market like for that kind of thing? And is it something that people are doing, or are we moving more towards shorter term rentals?
I think, you know, you make a point there about back in the 6, 7, 8 years ago, when a lot of people were buying property and speculating and making money just purely on the market moving.
Yeah.
And I think what the recession has done is got rid of those sort of individuals
yeah.
and companies. And at that time, we had companies buying through their SIPs, buying their office buildings, shops or whatever. Shops slightly more difficult to buy because of the structure of the ownership of the high street, but certainly office buildings and factories as well. And they were buying those using a SIP, and the funding arrangements for SIPs were far more advantageous then. Now they're a little bit more restricted. You have to have quite a lot of cash in the bank before you can go off and borrow on to purchase in your SIP. So I think over the last 6-7 years, companies have started to build up a bit of cash, and now they're looking at trying to invest in their own premises. Mm. Although there is always the argument from the accountants, and it's funny because accountants were saying, buy your own premises. Now accountants are saying, well, hold on a second, put your money in your business, not your premises, because you could be earning, you know, 200,000 could be earning more customers as opposed to just subsidising your rent.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so I think whilst we have seen, certainly in the West Kent area, owner-occupiers looking at buying properties, they're very sensitive as to what the price is. They won't be fooled into buying at ridiculous prices. Mm. And I would say there's more companies will want to lease on a flexible basis.
Yep. No, I think you're absolutely right. It's... And that was one of the reasons for asking the question, because these things do change and they come in and out of vogue in some respects. And also, of course, the market has a big effect. And as you say, maybe for the time being, gone are the days where you could speculate on property and have a big price rise. And you may now be much better off just investing it in your business and earning more money in your business. So that's a really good piece of insight into where the market is, because these things do change. And sometimes, especially with things like with commercial property, because that isn't the kind of thing we buy very often.
No, it isn't. And I think a lot has got to do with the banks. And, you know, banks have made it very difficult to buy property. They're not too keen on lending. They've started to relax a little bit,
right?
And some of the some banks are quite proactive in trying to fund the acquisition of property, but you've got a lot of hoops to jump through in order to do
that. And I don't know, I haven't looked at this for a long time. When I did look at it 20 years ago, one of the things I found there, and I don't know if it's still the same, banks lending commercial mortgages won't give you a very long-term mortgage either. It's not like buying a domestic property where you may get a 25 or even 30-year mortgage. When I last looked at that kind of market, they were going, you'll be lucky, 25-year mortgage on a commercial property, no way. I don't know if that's changed.
It hasn't changed. It's you know, 5, 10, possibly 15 years, I think most banks will look at. And don't forget, you know, commercial property went down from the peak by about 45%, and it's only probably... we're probably about 20-25% off that peak, so there's still quite a bit of way to go.
Fabulous. David, we could talk about this subject forever and ever and ever, but sadly we're running out of time. I'm sure lots of people will have lots of interest in the things you've been saying. If they want to follow up with you, if they want to get hold of you, give us your website, your Twitter handle and all those kind of things, and we will put them on the website pages for people to follow up. But for the moment, just give them a shout out.
Yes, of course. Thank you very much. Well, we'd be delighted to hear from especially small businesses who want advice. We're happy to give... desktop appraisals of their leasing situation, or just speak to them on the phone. They can reach us by telephone 01959 563 800, or they can email david.robinson@carrison, that's carrison.co.uk. I have Twitter handles. My personal one is carrison_CRE. And for those of you who wonder what CRE, that stands for Commercial Real Estate. I don't know why I chose that.
Very American.
Hello.
We're trying to get away from that, to be honest.
Hi.
or we've got our, I call it my corporate one, which is Carrison Prop, and then the letters RT.
I just discovered that.
Yeah, because Carrison Property is just one character too long, so we'll have to
abbreviate. Isn't that a nuisance when that happens?
Yeah.
David, thank you so much for joining us on the Funk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Very fascinating. Do stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. But for the moment, David Carrison, Managing Director of Carrison's Commercial Property over there in Westrum, in West Kent. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have to... stonk through this. We've got
stonking through. Squarries at Westerham. They're on the Twitter at Squarries, Squerryes. They're having a fabulous celebration of their English sparkling wine, 21st and 22nd of June. So go there. I will be there with Scoff and Quaff, possibly with Mr. Paul Andrews. Who have you got on Twitter, Paul Andrews?
Lawyer Fair, who are today's sponsors, are retweeting copies of the photograph of their duck, their corporate duck on our on air light out in the green room. So thank you for that. The Federation of Small Business says that they are listening live to the Business Bunker Show, and they thank us for our shout-out and say... The Business Bunker Show is a great combination of small business, work and fun. So thank you for that. Kent Sevenoaks Breakfast Friends, BeFast Friends on the Twitter, have said the Hilton Hotel tomorrow, the 11th of June, a morning with Lisa Cutts, author. That's her Twitter handle, Lisa Cutts, C-U-T-T-S, author, guest speaker, and it's hosted by Hilary J. Steele. That's a Twitter handle as well. We will retweet that so that you can follow that as well if you want to. So that's a breakfast meeting tomorrow at the Hilton Hotel. Doesn't say where, but I'm guessing it's Sevenoaks because it's a Kent Sevenoaks Twitter handle.
New husband?
Yeah, I'm trying to come to them. I can't find them. Hold on. Made Up For You is listening in.
Restore Tunbridge also. Hello to you.
Frontier
guys.
Funds. Check out and register for the G Sirkin book, Top 10 Frontier Markets. There's a website, frontierfunds.org, and it's an investigation of world fund managers' tips. So, Mr. Sirkin, Gavin has been trawling around the world looking at up and coming places in quite some undeveloped backwaters.
Oh, yeah. He's been arrested twice.
Yeah, exactly, and that was only in Whitstable. he's been trawling around the world looking at places that are going to be the future from an investment point of view, and he's about to publish his book on the whole experience, which we are all desperately waiting for.
It's going off to Wiley Publishers.
Some of us for different reasons. Some of us just because
so we can mow the lawn.
Some of us so we can read the book, and some of us just so that they get the lawn mowed and can be collected from the pub once again. But do check it out, and you can pre-register at frontierfunds.org to get a copy of the book when it's published, and you can follow Gavin on the Twitter at G Sirkin. Lee from Ancorians Football Club has said, great show today, guys. We are seeking businesses to advertise in our tournament program. There's a 1200 print run. Anybody that would like to support us, they can get hold of Ancorians Football Club. The website is on the community pages of the Kent Business Radio website, or you can follow Lee on the Twitter, and his Twitter handle is Lee, L-E-I-G-H-J-W, Lee J.W., on the Twitter. So do follow him if you'd like to advertise in the Ancorians tournament programme.
And our guest here, David Robinson, has just reminded us that it's his wedding anniversary today. And before he gets told off, hello to the lovely Karen and congratulations. How many years, David?
Oh, thank you very much. 20, just
20. 20 years. Oh, well done. Wow, well done. Yes. And are you taking lovely Karen out?
Well, normally I go out to lunch, but she asked me where we were going, and I said, well, I'm just going down to the seaside to the business bunker, so I'll probably take her out this evening.
Oh, lovely. Okay. Well, many congratulations.
A little dab of perfume behind your ear, and you'll be ready to go, David.
Yeah, absolutely.
Networking hub event at Canterbury Innovation Centre. It's Wednesday the 25th of June, so that's mañana, 11 a.m. to 13:30, and you can go onto their website, Joe Clark or Tracy Blasey. It's 3ws.basepoint.co.uk or 01227 811 702.
We've had a tweet from Kent Sevenoaks Breakfast Friends again, and it says, forget Roy Hodgson, we have Vanilla Whip, that's me, telling Mike Delaney Soccer what to do tomorrow. Now, they've blagged me into playing football. But the trouble is, Sam, you haven't told me where it is. Well, you probably have, but I've forgotten. I know it's in Sevenoaks somewhere, and I'm going to play football at my great age. But I've said, look, I'm not going to play, I'm going to manage the team.
But hold on.
You can tell the story in a minute. But apparently I'm managing Mike Delaney. And Mike Delaney is a soccer choreographer.
So, dancing.
No, let me explain, because we haven't got long. He does free-form soccer skills, and it's him that put together all the television adverts of Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi and all that lot. kicking a ball about for the adverts, and that's what Brilliant. He does, is he puts those together.
Wow, so you're going to be doing that.
And I manage him tomorrow, and I go, Mike, no, cut the fancy tricks, boot it out of play, mate. Yeah,
you'll love
that's
that.
Where I'm going.
I do remember when
I got a sheepskin coat and everything.
And a rattle.
And a rattle.
I remember when you played football at
last year,
Hilda Marie's,
yeah.
And I couldn't get you off the pitch.
I know.
And we were having the meal. I had to drag you by the ear.
Yeah, but that was because I was waiting for the defibrillator to arrive. It was really funny because my eldest son, Jamie, said to me, he was standing there watching, and he said, you know how to play football. You just can't anymore.
Oh, that's so sad.
And that is sadly true. That is sadly true.
But it was quite nice to see a bit of enthusiasm.
I played a decent bit of football when I was younger, but I am knocking on quite a lot now, and I don't expect
and
to play
And you can
much.
Rock and roll, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Go on.
Two Kent scouts are to lead the support team at a former soldier, Iraq, Afghanistan veteran and scout leader, Gareth Sell, who's going to, as a former, sorry, soldier, he's going to attempt to cycle from Land's End to John O'Groats without stopping for sleep. Matt Stevens, who's 28 from Maidstone, and Danny Brindley, who's 23 from Dartford, will set off with endurance cyclist Gareth Sell from under the famous John O'Groats signpost in the Scottish Highlands at the first light on Friday, June 13th. And hope to reach iconic Land's End in Cornwall in time for breakfast on Sunday. So that's amazing. If you want to find out more, go to www.epic83.webs.com and it will be on Kent Business Radio website after kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Cool. Had a tweet from Lee Buckingham. Leah says she's listening to the Great Business Bunker Show in the glorious sunshine in her garden.
With us.
Yeah, so well done.
Apparently we're in her garden.
We are in her garden.
Yeah, we've teleported.
We're pleased to be there, Leah.
Don't forget the Kent Business Tweet Up all through the month. Free monthly networking meetings at www.kentbusinesstweetup.co.uk. It's had a revamp. Ken and I have retired. We still front them occasionally. But lots of blood from new blood.
Cool.
From everyone.
Business community breakfast over there at Gillingham Golf Club in Gillingham. This Thursday is the Business Community Breakfast Network meeting at the Gillingham Golf Club at 7 a.m. You can find out about it by following them on the Twitter at BCB_Kent. BCB_Kent. That's the Business Community Breakfast this Thursday at the Gillingham Golf Club at 7 a.m. And we've also had a tweet from Quib Awards, that's the Kent Women in Business Awards, who are supporting the Seven Oaks Business Breakfast Meeting at the Hilton Hotel at Seven Oaks tomorrow morning, the 11th of June. And the author, Lisa Cutts, author on the Twitter, is the guest speaker there.
Wow, that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
There's an invitation to the Thames Gateway Kent Partnership. This is the business breakfast on the 17th of June. And this is hosted by Chairman Rob Bennett. And he'll be sharing news and info about opportunities and challenges facing businesses in North Kent. The venue is the Bridgewood Manor Hotel in Waterslade Woods in Chatham. That's M for Mother, E59AX. 7:30 arrival for registration, and ends at, 10:30, you've got your opportunities to network. You need to RSVP info@thames-gateway-kent.org.uk.
You said Thames.
Thames, I know.
Thames, love. Thames. I'm from Essex, isn't I?
You know, I was talking to my Australian cousin this morning, wasn't I?
You were, we Facebooked him. G'day. Yeah.
He was in his kitchen.
Hi, Chris, are you?
He was just going to bed.
Yeah.
And his wife had sort of rollers in. And
yeah, yeah.
It's quite funny. Just
G'day, mate.
We beamed into his kitchen, didn't
we? Yeah, yeah. It was like that Foster's ad, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, of course, the British Chamber Awards 2014, they're open for entry. And it's considered to be one of the UK's most hotly contested and prestigious business
prestigious.
Awards.
Is it prestigious?
Now, they're Money. Looking at following categories: Small Business of the Year, mm-hmm. Manufacturer of the Year, Best Use of Technology to Improve Business Performance, Young Person in Business Award. You can't go in for that, Paul Andrews.
Thank you.
Achievement in International Business.
Have they got one for Fogey of the Year?
No. You could probably sponsor that. The Sustainability Award, Commitment to People Development, Entrepreneur of the Year, and Excellence in Innovation. The awards are open for entry until the 27th of June, so not long left now. And the regional winners will be announced on the 22nd of September.
Cool.
You need to go to 3w.chamberawards.co.uk.
Good, good.
You're champing at the bit, aren't you?
I am. Well, we're fast running out of time, and we've got a lot of stuff to get through. We've got loads of emails, got loads of things coming on the Twitter still. Cancer Research UK Summer Lunch raises £9,000. The Summer Lunch, organised by the Crowborough Committee of Cancer Research UK, which took place on Wednesday the 4th of June at the East Sussex National Hotel near Uckfield, raised £9,000 for the charity. The event was attended by 260 people and supported by 22 corporate sponsors. Now, I'm going to try and rush through and name them all, so bear with me. The Summer Lunch began with a welcome drink sponsored by the Uckfield-based accountancy firm Simmons Gainsford. Western Provident Association sponsored the speaker. Dawson Hart Solicitors was the coffee sponsor. The tables were decorated with balloons provided by Yes Promo Products. David Bartholomew, photographer, took shots on the day. EM Communications provided audio-visual expertise, and the Marketing Eye offered PR and marketing support. It was sponsored by Uckfield FM. I know the guys over there. Hello, Gary King and the guys over at Uckfield FM. And it was also supported the event by running some Cancer Research UK adverts on air. The Summer Lunch was also sponsored by TR Fastenings, Swindles, Handelsbanken, Timeless Time, Team 4 Solutions, Sussex Medical Services, the Health Insurance Specialist, Lawson Commercial, Ricks & K, the Wellhouse Veterinary Clinic, Tester & Jones, Simon Gainsford Financial Services, Adagrip and Oldfield Smith. Thanks to Shirley Price at Yes Promo Products, Sussex County Cricket Club donated a signed cricket bat to the event. That was auctioned on the day and raised £220. In addition to support from sponsors, guests also took part in a raffle, which included prizes kindly donated by East Sussex National Hotel, Taywell, the fabulous ice cream people, ooh, and Cross Country Stores in Crowborough, among others. After more than 10 years volunteering on the Crowborough Committee of Cancer Research, both Lindy Whitlam and Angela Ward stepped down at the Summer Lunch. Philip, the chairman, would love to hear from anyone interested in joining the committee, and you can get in touch with Phil at Phil Pronin. That's Phil... Philip Ronan. I beg your pardon.
Just make Ronan. It up.
Philip Ronan, R-O-N-A-N, at talktalk.net. So if you'd like to get involved with that, do. But well done to everybody at CR UK for a fabulous effort of raising £9,000 for cancer research. We also have the Brownies, business networking at the Best Western Hotel, Abbots Barton Hotel, Canterbury, supported and attended by the Federation of Small Business on Thursday the 26th of June, that's Thursday week, 7am to 9am, £10 a person. What better way to start the day than over a cup of coffee and a brownie? You are cordially invited to the Best Western Abbots Barton Hotel, very own networking club. Join us for breakfast, sample some gorgeous homemade brownies, hear our speaker Chris Lee of Chris Lee Photography,
oh, fantastic,
and network with like-minded businesses. You can book your place by emailing events@castlewoodhotels.com. That's event@castlewoodhotels.com, and all their contact details are on the Cambridge's radio website.
And just an email from Crime Stoppers. They're giving out their website, www.crimestoppers-uk.org. Opportunity to go on there and find out more about criminal activity that you're aware of.
Cool. There's a whole list of networking breakfasts with the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce. I'm going to flash through these. They are full English breakfast from 8 till 9.30 in the following places. Thursday the 19th of June, the Holiday Inn in Rochester. Friday the 27th of June, the Mercure Tunbridge Wells at Pembury. Thursday the 10th of July, the Ramada Encore at Chatham. Friday the 1st of August, the Brands Hatch Thistle Hotel at Brands Hatch, obviously. Friday the 15th of August, the Mercure Hotel Maidstone. Chamber members £15 plus VAT, non-members £20 plus VAT. You can find out more about it by going to Kent Invicta Chamber .co.uk website, where all of the events that the Chamber run are listed. I think we're almost there now.
Yeah. Thanks to our sponsor.
A big thanks to our sponsor, Lawyer Fair.
And the Duck.
And the Duck, quite right. A massive, massive thank you to our two fabulous studio guests, Amanda Taylor, National Award winner, Bookkeeper of the Year. Amanda Taylor, Bookkeeping Services, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Mr. David Robinson, for incurring the wrath of his gorgeous wife,
Karen,
by coming to us for lunch rather than sharing it with her.
Thank you. I'll pay for it.
Managing Director of Kerrison's Commercial Property Company over there in Westerham. Thank you both so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you. Stay tuned to Channel Radio for the rest of the day. Coming up at 3 o'clock, we have Mr. Kevin Cann with the Extra Milk Show. At 5 o'clock, the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery. And then 7 o'clock, down the pub with Phil and Jonathan. We'll be on more booze, balls, birds and banter.
Good old knees up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fabulous show. And then at 9 o'clock, we have 18 tracks of unsigned new and upcoming music presented by the seriously laid back Mr. Jamie Andrews. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. We will be back with you next week. Stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk for a full lineup of other shows. And thank you so much for listening and contributing.
Oh, the Bowie thing.
We'll tell you about that next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.